Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. To my oldest son, D.W. 4, who I believe is somewhere watching us right now, who spent many years helping directly. Don't forget to check. He's helping us today. Check Periscope, check Facebook, and check all 13 platforms. Make sure everything is going out as it should, and send us a great report. A great report of truth, meaning it does not have to be great, but it will be great if you tell us where things are not going out the way that they should. And that goes for all of you who are gathering on this, our second coming, our Saturday second coming chapel service. If you cannot hear us, leave a comment wherever you are, and our technician will fix it. You should be hearing us extremely clearly. We have 5 new mics, and so if you are having any problems anywhere in the world, from Russia to the Philippines, let us know. I am still in the long series titled How to Hope, Lessons from the Israelites and Their Messianic Expectation, Part 21. The Second Coming Chapel Message, number 236. My baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, is helping me in putting together the sermons now, and is doing a great job. Pray for him, because he has a lot on him for a young man, and the devil does not like him, and the devil is fighting against all of us, because we get the gospel out every day by the grace of God, and it is a fight. Turn in your Bibles now to Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. And the Bible reads, "And the people spake against God and against Moses," and just like they do today, "wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And they hate what God has provided for them. They were used to the rolls that were twisted, French rolls twisted up, and sesame seeds on top, and all of that. And the Lord sent immediately. The Lord didn't say anything. The Lord didn't send a prophet. The Lord didn't tell Moses to warn them, "I'm not playing." But immediately, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents." You're not satisfied? Y'all not happy? You talking against me? You're talking against my servant Moses? Without any warning, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Some people don't understand that God does not mind folk dying in large numbers, because you're going to Him. You're not dead to Him. So just like these parents who get married and have these children that God has blessed them with, and then they start acting selfish and destroying their marriage and getting out of their marriages and divorcing, leaving their children. I've seen it happen over and over again. God will take children home. He has done it. And it doesn't bother Him, because the children come to Him and they stay with Him. Since you didn't want to keep them, you didn't want to take care of them. And so God is not losing anything when people disappear from the face of the earth. Now you will miss them. You will hurt. You will suffer pain. But God does not suffer any pain. Much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." See how quick that was? C.S. Lewis said, that pain, when we have pain in our lives, that's God shouting at us and trying to get our attention. He already spoke to our conscience, he said. He already spoke to our spirits. But you didn't listen to that, so he'll allow some pain. And pain has a way of helping you to hurry up and get to the point of finding out what the problem is. And what you're doing wrong. And we all know when we have done wrong. Verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, Moses.'" And they know the solution too. Not only do they know the problem real quick, and they find out the problem real quick, they know the solution. And they tell Moses, "Pray unto the Lord, Moses, that he take away these serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the answer came quickly. How many of you know that if you pray, God will give you a solution to your problem? He's not going to drop something out of heaven. He can, but he'll tell you, "This is what you need to do." "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.'" And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld or looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak and feeble, but we know that you're strong. And so, Lord, help everybody here to continue to pray without ceasing, to cry out for your help, the power of your Holy Spirit, to serve you well in these perilous times. And, Lord, we pray that you'll help everybody who names the name of Christ to keep the blessed hope alive, to remember and to understand. Just like you, Lord Jesus, came the first time and nobody believed you were coming, or hardly anybody. The faithful few believed it. But many don't believe it today, and they're doing exactly what you said they would be doing. And we all do it, even in the church, sad to say. We go to the grocery store, we do our shopping, we're marrying and giving in marriage and hooking up with this person and that, going about our business, building buildings, tearing down buildings. So contrary to what people think, your coming back in the rapture does not call for anything dramatic happening. People are just going, the dramatic thing is that people are just going to be doing their regular stuff and not even know you came, who are those who are lost. And those of us who are saved, we have too many who are satisfied in Egypt, like these people apparently were, and not in a hurry to go back in the rapture. Nonetheless, Lord, you're coming, and we need to keep the blessed hope alive and be busy occupying until you come, and looking for you to come and acting like it with our lives. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And Lord, at this moment in time, grant me your grace, your unction, your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit, the freedom and the liberty of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, and grant the power of your Holy Spirit upon the hearts of those who are serving with me, helping us reach thousands each week, Lord, all around the world with the gospel and with your holy word. And then, Lord, bless your people. Help everybody to be able to hear your holy word. And come to know you as Savior, if they're not saved, and be revived as Christians to keep hope alive, the blessed hope alive. We pray now, Lord, that you would grant me special anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, who's been fighting all day long and trying to hinder your word from going forward. We're not ignorant of his devices. And so, Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified, lost souls would be saved, and Christians revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation. Part 21. My oldest son, Daniel White IV, started this series, and my baby son is finishing it. And I thank God that my children have served the Lord with me in the ministry all of their lives, and it has worked out well. And I give God the glory. And I want to encourage all of you parents, especially if you're in the ministry, let your children help you in the ministry from the time they're born until the time they leave home. It will make all of the difference, and plus, you will not only be their parent, but you'll be their boss, and you'll find out some things about your children before they leave the house that their bosses in the future will find out, and it will end up in a bad way. Be that as it may, Second Coming Chapel, message number 236. Chuck Colson, the man who worked for President Nixon before the President Nixon had to resign because he was being impeached. Participated in the crimes, went to jail, and he found Jesus. Or Jesus found him. Light in the back. Light in the back. He said, as Christians, we have no reason to lack hope. Christ has shown the trustworthiness of God, and I'm going to add of himself, and of his word. So there's no reason not to have hope. And I will add, not to have the blessed hope. Even the Attorney General of the United States said just yesterday or today that people are losing hope. Lives are being destroyed and people are committing suicide because religion, faith, is not doing what it used to do. The Attorney General is making it clear that government obviously is not our solution and cannot provide us hope. Yet so many Christians, both black and white on both sides, think that a president or politics is the solution and not Jesus Christ. What a slap in the Lord's face, if you will. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we saw how many people, including many Christians, have lost hope because they're not even thinking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. In part of their disobedience against God, they have lost hope. So many Christians have lost hope because of disobedience, rebelliousness, stubbornness, lying and living a lie, involved with people they should not be involved with, and sin, and these sins have taken away their joy and have knocked that easy smile off of their faces. And now we have Christians contemplating suicide, so depressed, pastors actually committing suicide. One pastor in Charlotte blew his brains out in the garage on a Saturday, I believe, right before Sunday. A rather liberal preacher who's famous on YouTube said just this past week, he said, that is not of God. He said, these people are either not saved or they are in sin. There's no such thing as a Christian, as a preacher, committing suicide. Something is wrong somewhere. You've lost hope in the blessed hope. You've lost regular hope, the hope that we all have in our hearts as Christians, that things are going to work out. Everything is going to be all right. That's why Al Green wrote that song and sung that song, "Everything is going to be all right." Why? Because Jesus is coming back. We sung that earlier in the service. We sung it 365 days in a row when we did a live family devotional thing that went around the world. Everything is going to be all right because the Lord is in control, number one, and He's coming back. And so, beloved, in this passage, we see the entering in of sin in this situation, which triggered a whole lot of problems. And it pictures the entering in of sin through a serpent. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, they were afflicted with a curse. The world was no longer perfect because they were no longer using their free will to obey God. Here in this passage, the sin of the Israelites causes them to be bitten by venomous serpents. And these were some bad dudes. These were some bad serpents because folks were dropping. As soon as they were bitten, it seems like. And many of them died. When we look at the world today and all the sin and strife that is in it, it is easy for people to lose hope. And I would imagine that most people are tempted to despair, to become hopeless. Some young people struggle with having hope because their lives are not going the way they want them to go, the way they planned it. And they're wondering about their future, not thinking about Christ, not thinking about the Lord who saved them, not thinking about the second coming, that everything is going to work out, that everything is going to be all right. And sad to say, do not have older Christians coming alongside them and saying, listen, truly, you keep on living, you do what God tells you to do, you will be amazed at what God is going to do with your life. I am a living witness. Because God has a destiny and God has a plan for every soul. And you can't rush it. You cannot make it happen. You cannot try to twist God's arm to make it happen faster. You have to trust in the Lord. And for Bible-believing Christians, everything is not going to go the way that you want it to go. It may not even look like it's going in the right direction, but you need to trust in the Lord. You need to have faith in God. He's not going to show you the next step. You've got to walk by faith and not by sight. And you must believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And that ought to help you live right. That ought to help you keep your hope high and keep your joy and your peace that passeth all understanding. It ought to keep you from running with the wrong crowd, running with homosexuals, running with lesbians, running with drunkards, running with the party crowd, and you are born again, you're saved, been saved nearly all your life, trying to be cute and trying to be cool, dressing like the world, knowing you're wrong. The Holy Spirit is telling you you're wrong, and your conscience is telling you that you're wrong. And that makes you miserable. Dear Christian friend, if you are a Christian, It's going to make you miserable. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to feel defeated. You're going to get to the point where you're hopeless, and guess what you're going to do? The devil is going to tell you to go ahead and blow your brains out. The devil will even tell you, shock the world. Shock your parents, whom you think now the devil's got your mind so twisted that they don't love you because they're not going to let you have your way. While you're standing on the top of the building, go ahead and shock the world. Shock your parents. Break their hearts. If they say you're not going to break their hearts, you're going to break your neck and your head. And you're going to be dead and probably in hell. I'm not going to tell you you're going to heaven. Not this one. I'm not this preacher. You might want to go out to California and talk with the preachers out there. But not this preacher in Dallas, Texas. I'm not going to tell you that lie. Because there is something very wrong for a Christian to kill themselves. There's something wrong somewhere deep down. If you're thinking about killing yourself, I've never thought about that in 40 years. Are you kidding me? And I cannot think like that because of Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I have life living inside me. How can I kill Jesus? So how did you get to this point where you want to jump off of a building? The same man who said this past week, a liberal pastor, so there was a low point in his life that the devil, he knew better, but the devil was telling him he's living on the 18th floor, and the devil was telling him not to jump. He said he couldn't even walk in the living room because there was just windows coming across. And he said sometimes he felt the devil kind of lifting him up to jump. And he said what the old folks used to say when I was growing up, the devil is a lie. See, the devil, you might want to use that. The devil does not like that. He wants you to think that he's telling the truth. But the devil is a lie. Why are you hopeless? Why are you so dejected? Why are you so depressed and so filled with despair? Why is your head always down? You know why? Because there's some consternation in your soul. God in you, the Jesus in you, is telling you to do the right thing, but the devil and the flesh working in you are telling you to do the wrong thing, and you're giving the flesh and the devil too much ground. When the Bible tells us don't give place to the devil, don't give him any room. When I was a child, my parents took us to the church, to a church named the Pillar and Ground of the Truth. It was a holiness church. I didn't want to go. I didn't like going. I was made to go. But back in those days, there was a guy who had a high wind guitar. It was a pretty new deal back in those days. He could play that thing. You know, there's some church folk who can just, God just gifted them to play stuff. And he can make that thing sing. And at the end of almost every night service that they had, he would play that song, Don't Let the Devil Ride. I wish I could sing it myself, but I can't. Don't let the devil ride. See, some of y'all letting the devil in. Some of you women, you young women, y'all let the devil ride on into your apartment. And they leave you trying to take, they leave you taking a 2-hour shower trying to get his odor and stink and sin and evil off of you. You can't wash that away. Young lady, you can't wash it away. You need to go talk to God and confess your sins and repent. And never let the devil in again. And if he's not married to you, he doesn't care for you. He just got satisfaction out of your body. Stop letting the devil ride. That's why you're so depressed. That's why you want to run and go somewhere else. You messed up. You're trying to hide from your sin, from your evil. There's no place to run because the guilt will meet you there. The guilt will be on the plane with you. It'll be ever in your heart and mind until you take it to God. But you're not ready to repent now. You want to do what you want to do. We have some pharaohistically prideful, rebellious, stubborn people in our churches today. With pharaohistic pride. See, this is the deadly pride. This is the pride that God hates, man. Because why does God hate this pride? Because he knows it's going to take you to your grave and it's going to take you to your hell. You're going to live in hell in this life and you're going to go to hell because you won't listen. Do you know anybody like that? They know to do right because you even told them a million times. The word of God has told them a million. They go to church every Sunday too. They read the Bible. They got their head in the Bible all the time. So they know what the Bible says. They know they have suffered so much because they have not taken heed to the word of God. They refuse to obey. They won't listen. They're proud as the devil, pharaohistically proud. That's why they're miserable. That's why they are angry all the time. That's why they're bitter all the time. That's why they're mad as hell all the time. That's why they don't have any happiness. They don't enjoy anything. That's why they can't get to first base, much less a home run anywhere. In business, in their school work, in their church work, they're always failing. Full of pharaohistic pride. Won't listen. And by the way, they always try to do things all by themselves. They refuse to ask for help. Constantly losing. These are the losers of life. They're miserable. They're depressed. They are envious and they're jealous of other people because they won't listen. They won't obey the word of God. It's always two steps forward, one step back, or three steps back. Therefore, they're depressed. Therefore, they're full of despair. And the devil is working on their mind saying, kill yourself. You're not going to make it. Kill yourself. You are a failure. Kill yourself. You say, preacher, aren't you afraid to preach like that? They tell us in the counseling classes that we ought not to talk to the people who are contemplating suicide in such hard ways. Where am I going to scare them? Listen to me very carefully. If the devil has helped a person, has caused a person to think about committing suicide and they made up their mind, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. Pleading with them and whining with them and begging them. That's not going to help them. That's going to make them pull the trigger faster. Tell them they're going to hell. I want you to understand you're going to hell when you do this. And you will soon find out they start saying things, well, you know, it's just that I'm already, you know, I'm just trying to escape this hell I'm living in. Well, you're getting ready to jump out of the frying pan into the fire for real. Oftentimes, if you talk to the people right, you'll find out they just want sympathy. They want empathy. You can't give them empathy because you have never considered killing yourself. You can give them sympathy. You can help the feeble-minded by loving on them, talking to them and telling them it's going to be all right. But you need to tell them the truth. Stop lying to them. Stop thinking, trying to make them think they're going to heaven, because they're not. Judas in the Bible killed himself. He went to hell. Jesus said he had a devil. That's what's telling you to kill yourself. All this hopelessness and despair in the church. Downcast, defeated, disgusted. There's something wrong going on. And what we need is for pastors to get off of their boat, get out of the prosperity gospel, and start preaching the word of God to people again, so that people can be strong and sound in the faith. And start praying again. How about that? That will eliminate this foolishness. Have you prayed? I'm thinking about killing myself. Have you prayed about that? When was the last time you prayed to God? Well, I tried to pray this. It felt so dry. Well, welcome to the club. Oftentimes, prayer feels dry. Because it's about faith. It's not about your feelings. My Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And you try that. All things are possible with God. Try that. Some of you people are so fake and phony. You go to church with your big fake smile with your perfect teeth. You're more concerned about your perfect teeth and your business smile than you are getting your heart and spirit and right and soul right with God. And after smiling and grinning like a Cheshire cat all day long in church, you go home and you curl up in a fetal position because you're depressed and defeated. Because Bo Peep done used you, and you done found that Bo Peep used somebody else in the church too, just like you. You won't listen to God, won't listen to Jesus, won't listen to your mother, won't listen to your father, won't listen to your auntie, won't listen to Big Mama. They've already been through this mess. You know everything now. And you're too stinking proud to humble down and say, you know what, I have messed up. Will you help me? Now you're getting somewhere. Hope in God. This is not a suggestion, this is a commandment. Keep the blessed hope alive. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Jesus knew all about depression and despair. He's God. He knows all about it. But he gave you a solution. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Put your faith and trust in me, because I am somebody. I am that I am. Put your faith and trust in me. I not only died, I was buried, and I rose again. How about that? Now, you can't rise again, okay? Okay, now, I'm Jesus. I did all that. I allowed all that to happen. Trust in me. Put your faith and trust in me. Believe that I came and that I'm coming back, and that I will walk with you in this veil of tears and woe. I'll be with you until the end. Stop all the boo-hooing and stop all of the despair and the depression and downcastedness. Your head down, you call yourself a Christian. I want you to be cheerful. And I don't care what kind of hell you go through, I want you to be cheerful. Millions before you have done it and never committed suicide. Millions are doing it today, and you can do it as well. And with that, dear friend, I'm going to close, having even touched two-thirds of my message. that's on paper. Do you know Jesus, dear friend? Have you been born again? For more than likely, that's the problem. You were slipped a Mickey some years ago. And you were never born again. You never trusted Christ as Savior. You never received Christ into your heart. That's what the liberal preacher said. Some of these people committing suicide and so depressed and so defeated and so disgusted have never been born again. You have never been called to preach. You cannot possibly be saved. If I overcame, you can overcome. So get saved today. You say, preacher, that does not sound too compassionate. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I have a prophetic gift, if you will. I don't tell people that because people have messed up the word prophet so much. I don't even say that. I don't even tell people I'm an evangelist. People have messed up the names evangelists and prophets so much. Everybody and their mama now is a prophet and a prophetess and an evangelist. I don't even want to be counted in the number. But love is a many splendid thing, okay? Love does not always come and hug your neck and, oh, honey, child, sweetheart. Thank God for those people who do that and who can do that genuinely. But every now and then, love comes with a rebuke. Love comes with, man, get that mess out of your mind. Stop that foolishness. Get on your knees and pray. Get your heart right with God, man. What sin are you in? Get out of it. You're talking crazy. You're talking like one of the foolish women, Job told his wife. But here's love for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And he gave all of us hope. And in addition to that, we have the blessed hope. The same Jesus who came the first time 2,000 years ago can come in any moment, even while I'm speaking, in the rapture, and call us up out of here into a world that's, listen to me, hear me well, into a world, the third heaven, which will blow your mind. The reason why we're going to, one of the reasons why we're going to be there so long, millions of years, is going to take you millions of years to get over it. It's going to blow your mind. Out of this world, man. The Bible tells us the little pain and trouble we go through here cannot be compared to what we're going to see in the future and experience in the future. Listen to me. Whatever Disney World, Disneyland, Paramount Land, Six Flags Land, or whatever, wherever you've been, if you've been to all of them, combine them together and times it a trillion times, you still will not touch the ride and the place that we're going. You talk about hope. That's the hope, man. Being with Jesus. Jesus coming back and taking us on the ride of an eternal lifetime. Son, are you kidding me? So get over it. And if you're not born again, get saved today so that you can get on that ride. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, the consequences of sin, which is hell. And that's a terrible place. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have, from the Pope on down. Everybody has sinned against God. We all have broken His Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin, a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. That's why you're going to die. And here's the sad thing about death. You don't have to commit suicide. Just keep on living. Death is coming fast enough. So, preacher, I can't believe you would say something like that. So many people are committing suicide. I'm trying. Where am I going to scare them to? Huh? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? I'm trying to get their soul saved so they will never think about suicide again. Because death is coming fast enough for each and every one of us. Just keep on living. They will be burying you soon. And me too. Why? Because of sin. Our sin. The body goes to the grave. The soul goes to hell if we don't trust Jesus Christ as our Savior before we leave this earth. And you will leave this earth one day, one way or another. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any preacher in the Bible, and I believe that Jesus Christ has preached more on hell than any preacher living today. Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he was warning us of this awful place, trying to turn our eyes upon Jesus to be saved from that awful place. By the way, that's what you're being saved from. I have to say that because some of you think you're being saved to prosperity or a big house on Pork Chop Hill or a big fine car or a wonderful marriage and all that foolishness. Okay, you know, you're being saved from hell, man. That's that. Ultimately, you're being saved from hell. You're being saved from hell, a burning hell that you will spend eternity in if you don't trust Christ as Savior in this life. Preacher, you ought to stop trying to scare people. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just stating facts. Jesus Christ said hell is a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of weeping and wailing. That's how bad sin is in God's sight. And by the way, Jesus Christ did not make hell for you. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you act like the devil and his demons, you're going to go to hell with the devil and his demons if you don't trust Christ as Savior. So hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. You talk about getting to know somebody. millions of years, I think you get to know Jesus very well, and he'll get to know you. And believe it or not, he wants to get to know, he knows you, but he wants to fellowship with you more than you want to fellowship with him. So pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. And he will do it very easily. It's not hard. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to be in church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to jump and shout and run around the church like you see people on TV. That has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. You don't have to sing in the choir. Some of these things are good, and that you ought to do them once you are saved. But you don't have to do any of these things to get saved. Contrary to what people tell you, yes, it is easy to get saved. Why would God make it difficult for ignorant, stubborn, disobedient people like us? He made it easy. It was not hard. It was not easy for him, but he made it easy for us. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Trust in Christ today. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and I'll be glad to lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and turn from my evil ways and follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, now, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.